something went on here and something went on there.
This time on TNT.
We talk about Tag sitting behind the plate at the Blue Jays game.
We play the 80s Expos walk-up jams.
And we play a brand new game called Birthed, eh? All coming up right now on TNT.
47, Jonathan, how are you?
Hornibot. I mean, it's Hornibot that we're doing 47. That's not an accurate description of how I am.
Oh, I know. I understand. It's
how are you? Stuff.
I'm good. I was enjoying the warmth, the hot air, and the baseball season.
Holy cow.
I saw
a video. You're right behind the catcher.
Yeah, that Saturday game, I had some ridiculous seats.
How did you get them, first of all?
My buddy Ian Leggett, the wonderful golfer,
this
country's golfer, is a good buddy of mine, but he just works not far from me at Summit Golf Club. He's the director of golf there, so I get to see him a lot more these days, and he decided to give me a holler for those tickets, and I was like, all righty.
You almost took one off the beak.
Well, the net's in front of your face, but when you're watching a game, you kind of look through it and you just forget about it. You don't even notice it's there. And when that ball, the seat I was in was literally right behind the umpire. So I could see the strike zone right in front of my face. And it was amazing to see movement of the ball and stuff. But when that tip happened, it was just... I was coming right at my head. So, like, you just natural reaction is to get out of the way of it.
Of course.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe me if I realized the net was there, but you can't just not flinch at something like that.
So, can you actually, could you call a ball or strike, or you're looking at the
100% turd cutter? Yeah. Yes, yes. And there were a lot of outside balls that were called strikes, in my opinion.
Really?
From that big, tall, massive umpire. Yeah.
Was the energy like in the Rogers Center? Because ticket prices have quadrupled since this hot streak. It must have been electric.
It was crazy. It was sold out and 50,000 people in there. So super loud. But when you're right down on the field, it's quieter because everything's above you. So you feel like you're just kind of sitting there and you can hear the crack of the bat and the yelling and the chirping and the players. And so but it was hot, man. It was so hot in there. It was like a frying pan.
Oh, I so suppose hot. With the roof open, no air must circulate around there.
Yeah, it just kind of beats down on you. I thought we were fine until it came over the dome, finally opened fully, and then it just creeped over from the west, like just that side of the building. It just creeped on and becomes right above you, and it's just you're frying. That's just the way it is. But it was
so you can hear the players chirping each other.
Yeah, well, they weren't like you can hear the chatter. There wasn't really a lot of. It was kind of a quiet game, to be honest. There was no yelling and screaming. There was no arguments. Gibby didn't get thrown out of the game. Everybody's all high on that 11-game winning streak, and they thought it was never going to end. So to give up a couple to the Yanks, no biggie. Got one back. And it's nice that the AL East has a bit of a race here going.
So from that vantage point, who impressed you? I forget who pitched on Saturday.
It was Marco Estrada.
Right.
So it was, he pitched pretty good, but it was just such a stressful game in terms of they'd get either a hit or they would have a shift on, and then the Yankees would get a hit. And when you're watching a game that they were losing from early on, it's just not, it's hard to enjoy, to be honest,
right?
Because they were struggling most of that game. Like the offense wasn't getting hits off Tanaka, and the way he pitches, he was just kind of carving everybody softly. I just couldn't believe he just kept coming back. And
he went 8 innings.
He went 9. He finished the game.
Did he really?
Game. Yeah, yeah. I thought at least we'd see someone come in to try and just polish it up, but no, he kept going. So kudos to him. But boy, oh boy, he made it almost look boring the way he just kept throwing the same kind of similar pitches. Nothing really too much down the middle, but the Jays just couldn't get anything power out of him.
So there were like 47,000 people there, right?
I think it was closer to 50, but yeah, I don't even know what the sellout number is anymore. They kind of change.
That's so wild.
It was packed. It was totally packed. And it's not really going to stop, I don't think, because most of the home games are sold out now.
Yeah.
So.
Those are great seats.
Big change from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, really, when they're giving tickets away. Yeah. So when you're sitting, it's like Jerry D often sits right behind the net at the Maple Leafs games, and he gets a lot of air time. Do you find that too high profile, or did you dig it?
I didn't really know. Like, you're not thinking about being seen when you're sitting there.
On TV, every pitch.
I was just appreciating, like, to be able to watch the game right from behind the plate. I mean, those seats are ridiculous. Like, even those seats weren't there before. Remember back in the day, there was just a couple up, and then you always were looking a little bit down on the strike zone. Those are even with it. So it's just, it's hard to not get involved or watch, you know.
Crazy.
Hard to live tweet when you're worried about balls flying at you.
Yeah. So what would those tickets run you if you were paying cash for them?
What's that?
What would those seats run you if you were paying cash for them?
I'm sure they're like $300 or something like that.
Good Lord.
But I think it's you have to buy those seats, like, or rent corporately. Most of them are owned by companies or loaded folks.
I'm really excited for today's top five because they're going to do top five walk-up jams.
Yeah.
But in typical fashion, it's going to have a degree of nostalgia to it. 80s Jays and Expos walk-up jams.
Yeah. And you're going to do the Expos games and I'll do the Jays guys.
Yeah. You would know better than me. But so does a player pick their walk-up jam and that's their jam forever, or that's their jam for the year, or they can change it whenever they want?
I'm sure they have access to change it whenever they want, but it's their choice.
Right.
Some guys have the same thing all the time. Some guys mix it up.
And you can learn a lot about dudes by what their walk-up jam is.
Yeah,
like if it's Gypsy Kings or if it's M plus M.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. Yeah.
Usually it's like some crazy, awesome music from Dominican. And that, or like, just when you start to hear Afro-Cuban beats and stuff like that.
Yeah, those are awesome. My favorite.
Yeah.
Because you know that it means a lot to the players coming up, but it often is a head-scratcher to the folks in the crowd.
But we're going to keep it in the 80s, the old-school classic.
We're also going to try to keep it in the context of a television broadcast.
Yeah.
So I guess mine would be like Télévision 4 Saisons. Or Radio Canada, SLC Radio Canada. And yours be, I guess you're Fergie Oliver, or you're the announcer in the
No, I'm not going to be Fergie Oliver. I'll just be the guy announcing it.
You're not going to be Pervy Oliver?
No, what a creep.
Where's Pervy Oliver today?
He's disappeared somewhere. Has in America. He? Banished.
Huh.
Keep your eye if he's your neighbor.
Could be.
Google him.
So, my neighbor, did I tell you about my neighbor?
Yeah, speaking of perverted neighbors.
No, he's not perverted, but he told me he was going to list his house for sale. Did I tell you this?
I don't think so.
It's a house across the street, and as you know, we live on a dirt road, so we only have one neighbor. We have a neighbor.
So, your neighbor.
Yeah, my neighbor. And this guy is looking after his home place. It was his parents' property in the house he grew up in. And it comes with a few acres. And so we've never really had a neighbor because he doesn't live there. He's just looking after it. So he said about a year or so ago, I'm you know, working towards putting this place on the market. And part of me thought, I wonder if we should try to buy it so we can block who moves in across from us. Or sweet talk my in-laws into buying it and building a place there so we at least know who our neighbors are. They'd be great neighbors.
Yeah.
So I asked out of curiosity, what's the price? And he told me, and I was like, oh man, it's, you know, it's a fair chunk of change just to block your neighbors. And it was really, you know, a luxury to even consider.
Mm-hmm.
So he put it on the market for a third of what he told me it was going to cost. And the first day there was a showing and the guy bought it.
Wow.
It was a third. And had he told me it was going to be a third, I might have considered it. Because it's Nova Scotia, you know, it's not top downtown Toronto dollar.
So why would that happen?
So some joker's going to buy it and flip it. Well, I think because he met with a real estate agent and the guy was like, I don't know if we can charge that for it. The biggest challenge with real estate, as you know, is folks who are selling often assume the emotional value they have for it counts towards its market value.
Yeah, no. And it's always higher than the realtor will throw out there.
Yeah, of course, because the realtor just wants to sell it and get it gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, let's take a break on TNT 47, right?
Yeah.
And we'll come back and we'll do our top five walk-up jams from Télévision 4 Saisons and CTV. Stand by.
Where's my beer chair?
We're back.
Vous écoutez Expos Baseball. You're listening to Expos Baseball sur SRC Société Radio-Canada sur CBC. I feel like 1983 Expos is the roster I'm going to use because I think of Andre Dawson, Tim Raines, Gary Carter.
Yeah, well, that was a pretty good span of early 80s. So, yeah, that's good. I like that.
Same era for you and the Jays?
Yeah, for sure.
Like totally, circa Kelly, Gruber, Rooster Tail, Dave Steeb.
Slash back to Rance Mullenix and Damaso Garcia era.
Jesse Barfield.
Louis Leal.
Louis Leal.
Louis Leal.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is going back.
Start this off with your first expo?
Sure. Okay. I had to look up some French terms for baseball so I could do franglais.
That's classic.
Okay, so I'll tell you when to kick my walk-up jam. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Prochaine, c'est le receveur Gary Carter. Next at bat, it's the catcher Gary Carter, numéro 8, number 8 is him. Ici vient Gary Carter. Lanceur partant, starting pitcher pour les Blue Jays, Dave Steeb. Ici Gary Carter. Dernière fois, c'était la prise, un strikeout pour Gary Carter. Voici Gary Carter, numéro 8, number 8, Gary Carter. Première lance. C'est le bal numéro 1 à Gary Carter. Bon, dernière fois que Gary Carter était ici, last time Gary Carter ici, c'est le simple, what a single in the second. Et le deuxième lance, c'est le fausse ball, foul ball. Une et un, le compte à Gary Carter.
Keep this going and then go to the next guy and I'll hit the next jam on the next player that you say. Keep
et ses prochaines lances, et Gary Carter, c'est sur la base. C'est un base hit, Gary Carter, sur first. Prochain. C'est André Dawson, prochain batter. Ici vient André Dawson. Avec son chanson de Louis Lewis, with his hit A Power of Love. Bon, il y a un moyen bâton, un batting average de 300. Prochain lance, André Dawson, c'est balle numéro 1, ball 1. Dernière fois que André Dawson s'est ici, c'était un grand slam. Dans le deuxième, lance, c'est un ball foul, compte complet. C'est fausse balle, foul ballism.
Next batter.
Prochaine lance, c'est un change-up, changement de vitesse pour André Dawson, puis c'est un single. Alors, André Dawson sur le premier base, Gary Carter sur le deuxième. Prochain batter, c'est Tim Raines. Quelle chanson curieuse pour Tim Raines et Susu Studio de Phil Collins. Tim Raines maintenant est 343 batting 343 percentage. Tim Raines 17. Dernière fois, il y avait outfield, champ extérieur, prop flyism. Cette fois-ci, c'est le bal numéro 1 pour Tim Raines.
Now say another batter.
Apple Tim Raines is strike out un out dans le quatrième. Prochain batter is it. Vient du Expos de Montréal. C'est numéro 37, Tom Dixon. Number 37, Tom Dixon. C'est Tom Dixon ici, 37. Il bat en lieu de Bill Gullickson. Tom Dixon, t'es 7. Le premier lance, ce n'est pas ici. Oh, ici vient le gérant, le manager. Il vient ici. Il va parler avec l'arbitre. We'll talk to the umpires. Parce que le premier lance. Oh. Le manager vient ici parler au lanceur partant, le starting pitcher. C'est tant le lanceur de relève, relief pitcherism. Mais Bill fait l'amorti sacrifice, c'est un sacrifice de bunt fly. Le coureur sur deuxième avance à troisième, c'est Gary Carter, numéro 8, le catcher. Et sur troisième base, et maintenant, oh, c'est l'erreur des Blue Jays, alors les Expos avancent. C'est un fly ball, le ballon à centre field, c'est à côté.
Another guy.
Alors, prochaine batter, laisse-moi voir le line-up. Prochaine, c'est numéro 0, Al Olivers. You see me, Al Olivers? Pourquoi elle a choisi cette chanson, ce n'est pas clair. Bon, Al Olivers, cette année 7, le point produit runs batted in sur 300, 300. Al Olivers, il n'y a pas de relation de Fergie Olivers, mais le premier pitch, c'est de balle numéro 1 à Al Olivers.
Last batter?
Hey, c'est le roulant, le ground ball, two out pour les Expos de 1983. Alors, le prochain batter, laisse-moi voir ici. C'est numéro. Oh, c'est numéro. Numéro 4, Chris Beyer. Oh non, c'est numéro 29, Tim Wallach. Number 29, Tim Wallach. Avec le grand sledgehammer. C'est Peter Gabrielism. Sledgehammer, c'est numéro 29, et Tim Wallachism. Son pourcentage de batting, c'est. C'est 212, 212, batting 212, Tim Wallach. Et le premier base, c'est le ballon à Tim Wallach. Elle attempte un sacrifice bunt. Tim Wallach attempte un sacrifice bunt, mais c'est le troisième out sur baseball de Blue Jays. Ce soir, plus tard, c'est David Duchovny avec les Red Shoe Diaries. Ce soir à 11h. David Duchovny et les Red Shoe Diaries. On va retourner sur Expos Baseball après ici. Cet avertissement est donné par le Saint-Hubert Chicken. Saint-Hubert Poulet, le chicken officiel de Montréal Expos. On va retourner après ce message de Saint-Hubert Poulet.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
That was a great one.
I love the walk-up jams from the 80s.
Yeah, I knew, but there's no
plan.
We had to stay in the big O for that whole thing.
I know, and it kind of played out as an actual inning. Bunch of guys came up, a few got out, they advanced the runner to third. Gary Carterism stranded at third base.
Gary Carterism. Like, it's something you get.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if it was parler comme ça, talking like that for the last 8 minutes, but I'm in my hair stream at the Mr. D television show, and I had to turn off the air conditioning in here, and it's 35 degrees out, and I am wetting up a storm.
So it's like you're like Jim Carrey and the rhino and yes. When Nature Calls.
I'm marinating in myself. But I had to kill the AC so it would sound good. But that was a lot of talking as Zim.
No kidding.
The thing that I admire about those baseball commentators, and you could do it, is they pause, right? Gary Carter, number 8. Yeah, last time Carter was up was in the second.
for sure.
Single.
There's always that air, and the sound of the crowd always helps to have that pause.
Yeah, it sure does. And there's always the guy interrupting with factoids.
Yes. The tabler?
Yeah.
Buck. Buck has some classic stories with the Jays games.
Yeah, he sure does.
He just goes like, I was out yesterday. Took a walk to the fish market. You ever try that fish pot? It just totally goes way off.
You know, the Bodine Bakery. They have the world's oldest sourdough bread. Which they have to top up with yeast every day. Did you know it's a living thing, sourdough?
Yeah, it always starts with the pitch. That's a strike. I was out at the yacht today. I had some clam chowder. It's pretty good if you go down.
As we get ball two.
Yeah, for sure. And then I'll repeat, start talking about this story. Yeah. So what's, how was your last weekend there, bud?
It was good. I went to Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, what a baseball town that is.
Yeah.
Nice folks in Chicago, Illinois.
What part of town were you staying in?
I was staying right downtown, bud. Right on Michigan Ave. Oh, nice, by the beach. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great spot, isn't it?
Yeah, it was only a little of the old in and out. Yeah. But really nice town. And for the first time in a calendar year, I had no issues with traveling there or back.
Really?
But I'm going to tell you something. I am taking my tiny roommates, my wife and I are, and we're going full on Griswold camping this week.
No way.
Like, we rented a campsite and we have a camper and we're going to plug it in and stay there.
Oh, wow.
I'll report back next week how the, aren't you Ellen DeGeneres? How that factor goes.
Oh, yeah.
But the things you do for kids, eh, bud?
I know. Well, I've never done the full-on camping in the woods.
I know.
That's a big deal.
Well, this is less like Banff National Park and more like, hey, look, a hayride.
Oh, yeah.
And crafts for the kids.
Oh, nice. That's good. Yeah, Lisa's the idea of camping because her dad was really heavy into going into the woods. So that was like, bring your own stuff. You got to go for a long time and set up camp. And like, it's a big deal. It's not just a whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
Hardcore. I just don't like waking up with a mosquito in your ear.
Yeah.
Like that 5 a.m. when it's right inside your ear canal.
I hate it when they get in your house and do that.
I do too.
I had one come and attack me like a couple weeks ago in the middle of the night and ended up killing like 8 of them. I don't know how they got in the house.
Do you think attack is too strong a word?
If they're attacking you?
Well, no, you said one got into your house and attacked you. It just sounds so violent.
Well, when you wake up and your daughter's got like 5 or 8 bites right on her under her eye,
yeah.
You feel like you're being attacked.
That's no good.
Yeah.
That's not what you want.
It swells up and got the big swollen eye and this one galloping gourmet of a mosquito on the wall, all fat from your kid's blood. That's an attack and it makes me hot. That's why I squished a bunch of them.
Do you know what I've been getting this summer and I haven't had since I was a kid? Is Charlie horses. You wake up in the night with a Charlie horse in your calf.
You get that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the... you don't want to be getting that too much.
That's the worst.
Yeah. That's called the not exercising enough.
And then being weekend warrior guy.
Exactly, trying to do too much, being on your feet all day, and then all of a sudden it starts to tell you how it is.
That's what that's called.
Yeah. Yeah, the old Charlie horse.
Nobody wants that, waking up in the middle of the night, bot.
Oh, because you're trying to figure out how to undo it.
Yeah, and trying to not wake up anybody who might be sleeping around you.
And you're screaming to yourself. the most painful. I've had that sleep when you think you're. Oh, is it sleep paralysis when you're awake but you're not?
What is that?
Well, it's like I'm awake but I can't move. I used to get it sometimes on tour on a bus if I was sleeping. That I'm awake and I'm trying to wake myself up in my own thing. And the only reason I know I am dreaming is because I can feel the side of my face like a pillow on it.
What?
So I'm like, this isn't a dream. This is like, I'm trying to wake up.
What is that?
You're screaming and it's really bizarre. It hasn't happened for a long time, but it sucks.
Speaking of bizarre, it's kind of a weird segue, but I've been thinking about One Hit Wonders all day. Remember those guys? How Bizarre? OMC?
OMC? OMC, yeah.
Ooh, baby.
Yep.
Like, what's that guy doing right now?
Stealing hubcaps.
Do you think?
Just like Oats.
Oats? Are you kidding? Oats is set up. When you think about it, Oats and Andrew Ridgely from Wham, they kind of won. Because they get to cash the checks, but they don't have to be that guy.
I thought, but Oats had like planes and stuff. He spent his money big time.
Are you kidding?
So he spent
his money and now he's out of dough?
I don't think he's out of dough, but I'm saying he spent a lot of money. He was rolling hard.
Oh.
But they were huge back in the day.
Didn't spend his money on razors.
No, definitely not. Who's the one of the most famous super hairy guy? Gino Vannelli?
Well, I would have said Barry Gibb. Here's a one-hit wonder that
Barry
I had
Gibb.
On my mind today. Harry
what about
Gibb.
Eugene Levy? He's pretty hairy. Robin Williams had some hair on him.
Yeah, he sure did, on his chest.
Rest in peace, Robbie.
It's been a year. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Listen to this one-hit wonder, bud. Not to be insensitive.
Yeah.
Jan Arden Styles. Oh, you know what? I don't know if I can play it with my headphones on.
That'll do it. What's the jam?
You can't hear it, can you?
Oh, I can hear what you just said, though.
It's EMF Unbelievable.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that song.
Do you remember that jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a classic late 80s jam, right?
Yeah, and that led me to Timbuk 3, Future So Bright, I Have to Wear Shades.
Yeah, that's a stinker.
I guess it was.
Those are the movies that had them in it.
I guess it's just another excuse for me to talk about the 1980s. Let's take a break on TNT 47. We'll be right back after this. Hold your bird, will ya? Boom, gong, gang, go, ka, ding, gong, ju, boom, bang, sarang, do, da, doom,
bang, bang, ka, doom, dowry. Oh, what a night! And we're back.
Most of the fun of the games that we play on the show is coming up with the names for it.
Yes.
So we're going to play a game where we'll give each other three stars from the blinding galaxy of Canadianity, and then one birth date, and we have to pick which of the stars' birthday it is, right?
Yeah.
So names for this game include, we talked about fact in the head, but it doesn't really make sense for this game.
Yeah.
I kind of like birthday.
Sure, that's good.
How do you feel about birthday?
Birthday?
I don't know. I feel like it's D apostrophe.
Birthday?
Yeah.
Birthday quiz.
All right, who's going first in the birthday quiz? Numéro 43, number 43.
Okay, I'll go first with my question.
Okay.
March 22nd, 1931.
Oh, it's easy.
Is that Nicholas Campbell, Robert Clothier, or Clothier, or William Shatner?
Is it Da Vinci, Relic, or Kirk?
Yes.
31?
1931.
31, 70, 85. Kirk's not that old. That must be... Is it possible that's Relic?
Bam, no, it is not Relic.
It's Shat?
It's the Shat.
Because I don't think Campbell's quite that old. The Shat is, the doesn't Shat, that make him 80 something?
Just plugging along, 84.
Whoa. Yeah. He looks shat-tastic.
Yeah, he does.
All right, it's 1-0 for you.
It's because he hangs out with that that Live Forever guy.
Yeah.
The Ray Kurzweil guy. It's his best buddy. They're taking all those fancy pills that make you young.
He's getting a little saucy on social media.
I know.
The Shat came back the very next day. He's firing shots at people.
Yeah, you can't mess with the Shat.
He's firing shats at people.
He's like the original Norm MacDonald, who only seems to talk about rap. And everybody replies with dad.
Well, I was telling somebody this story today. The guys that produced the Joe Schmo show did a show after Joe Schmo called Invasion Iowa, where they took Shat and a fake posse of people like his agent and manager and spiritual advisor and guru and network executive, and they shot a movie in the hometown of fictitious character James T. Kirk, and they made promotional items called Shats, and they were Shatner hats, and everybody in the town had Shats on their head.
Anyway, bizarre.
You can find that at the bottom of a bargain bin, but it's a time well spent, that's for sure. They kind of punked a whole town before punked ever happened.
Let's go with your first one.
All right, here's your first birthday. May 1st, 1960. Stu Jeffries? Terry David Mulligan? Or Ed the Sock?
Oh, those are all classic.
Go rockin' tonight. Stu Jeffries, TDM.
I'm going to go with TDM for some reason, but that doesn't sound correct now as I throw it out.
Stu Jeffries, bot.
Stu Jeffries.
Yep. 1-1. We're tied 1-1 on birth to A. All right, okay. Hit me with the next one.
All right. March 2nd,
1935. Whoa.
Is it Donnelly Rhodes? Leslie Nielsen,
yeah,
or Al Waxman?
Huh. I'm gonna talk it out like they do on Bumper Stumpers.
Dude, talk it out.
I'm gonna talk it out. Birthday.
Are you going through the trailer of Danger Bay in your head?
Yeah. Donnelly Rhodes is a stately Canadian actor. I don't feel he is that age. Al Waxman, no longer with us, famous from King of Kensington, and also that miniseries about that thing.
Cagney and Lacey?
Yeah, and who was the third one?
I don't know the other one, but I just remember him, Cagney and Lacey.
No, who was the third candidate? Oh, Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, Donnelly Rhodes, Al Waxman.
It's got to be Al Waxman.
Or Leslie Nielsen.
Al Waxman.
Yes, it's was Al it? Waxman. Nice.
Do you want to hear a great story? A friend of mine was working as a driver on a movie with Al Waxman. Did I tell you this?
No.
And every morning, it was a grueling shoot. He had to pick him up at 5 in the morning. So one night, Al Waxman called my friend and said, you know what? I'm going to walk to work in the morning, give you a bit of a break. So don't worry about picking me up. And I was like, oh, thanks, Al. That's so nice of you. He's like, yeah, so just come by at 4:30 and get my briefcase.
Oh, man.
Al. All right, so
thinking he's gonna give you a break, but you gotta come by.
Yeah, you don't have to spend time with me, but come get my briefcase, will you? So I was wrong.
What?
Oh no, I was right. I got it right.
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I have 1 point. The scoring system just changed. Mind. I have 1 point. You have no points.
No points.
But here is your chance to redeem.
Even though I should have guessed Stu Jeffries.
Here's your next birth to A.
Yep.
November 8th, 1971. Staying on the Danger Bay tip is that Ocean Hellman's birthday of the heir to the mayonnaise fortune. Is it Sarah Polley's birthday? Or is it Anne of Green Gables star Megan Follow's birthday? Oh. November 8th, 1971. Ocean Hellman, Polley, or Follows?
I think it's the Anna Green Gables star.
Incorrect. It's Ocean Hellman.
Ocean Hellman.
Still blocked.
Those are deep.
But I went deep, but I still have a chance to steal to go up 2-0 with your next burst, eh?
Yeah. Yes. Hit Born me. Toronto, September 24th, 1972. Is it Stephen Brogren, who's Snake?
Yeah, Stephen Brogren. Yeah.
Pat Mastriani, who
is Joey.
May or may not had worn the hat with groupies. Or Neil Hope Wheels.
Oh, wow. 72.
September 24th.
By the way, Toronto. A week older than me.
Oh, wow.
I feel like it's
close.
Oh, man.
Pat Mastriani.
My head says Pat. My heart says Neil. I'm going to say Neil.
You're going with Neil Hope.
Yeah.
And you got it.
The audacity of Hope.
Died November 25th, 2007.
Oh, dear.
At 35 in the hammer.
Poor dude. Okay, you ready for your you ready for your next one? Next and last one?
Yes.
Canada birthed A, July 8th, 1948. Raffi, Pamela Wallen, or Norm Perry? Raffi, Pamela Wallen, or Norm Perry, July 8th, 1948. Whose birthday? Raffi
born in Egypt.
But still, I think has a Canadian passport.
Okay. Norm Perry.
Incorrect. It was Raffi.
Oh, man. I got swept.
It was Raffi.
It was Raffi.
Birth A feels like one of those games that nobody can ever really win.
Oh, that was good.
Fun to play, though, bud. Let's take a break here on this TNT 47. We'll be back right after this.
Let me ask you this right quick. You know what I mean?
And we're back.
Numero 10, number 10, Andre Dawson. It's Andre Dawson.
I love when they do it on Air Canada, too. They pronounce the names of places in French and English. Mesdames et messieurs, bienvenue à Calgary. Welcome to Calgary.
Yeah.
Even in English and in French, it's Calgary. It's not Edmonton. It's Edmonton.
Yeah. I know. It's funny how that baseball game, I didn't know a word you were saying and then I'd hear, Al Oliver!
Mesdames et messieurs, prochain frappeur, next batter is André Dawson.
Yeah, you throw out the most English way there is.
Well, this is what I was trying to do.
Tim Wallach, Tim Wallach.
Tim Wallach. As you know, bienvenue, Septa. Welcome here.
I was going back and forth between the roster from the 1980 whatever Expos and French terms for baseball in my phone. So I would finish the introduction to somebody and then have to like minimize and then make larger on my phone, which I'm also talking on, what number, because I wanted to lend an authenticity to it.
Yeah, the numbers are
Tim good. Raines.
Tim Raines.
Prochain frappeur, Tim Raines. Dernière fois, il a lancé un but. Last time, he had a bunt.
Jeff Reardon.
And then I would have Jeff Reardon. I like the more English the names are. Then I had to like, if I wanted to say he sacrificed bunted, then I had to look up like, well, how do you say that?
Ball numéro un, ball one. C'est un strike, strike deux. Le compte est couramment un et deux. Un et deux à Tim Wallach.
He's got a dart going.
Yeah.
Just pounding through the game.
And export a green.
Export a vert. Export a green. Le cigarette officielle des Expos de Montréal. The official smoke of the Montreal Expos.
If you don't smoke, the next guy on the mic might as well.
Yeah, right. There's a smoke halo around the mic.
Oh.
Cette prochaine batteur, prochaine frappeur, brought to you in part by Couchetard. Brought to you by le dépanneur Couchetard. Maintenant ouvert jusqu'à minuit. Now open till midnight.
What's that, that woman? The Marie Antoinette.
Oh, the one who sings the anthems at Habs games?
No, the restaurant, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Marie Antoinette. Marie Antoinette.
Oh, that was the guy who sings at the Canadiens games all the time?
Well, I was thinking of the one, Jeanette Renault, who they used during the playoffs.
yeah, get her to sing the national anthem.
Samedi soir, this Saturday night, chez La Ronde, at the Ronde, Paul Pichet and Michel Rivard. C'est un spectacle. Prochain spectacle, c'est Paul Pichet, La Ronde, samedi soir, 17h.
How about the French monster truck announcer?
Dimanche, dimanche, dimanche.
What's that? What is that thing it's, they always do? It's always like, you better be dead. You're coming down on Monday.
Dimanche, dimanche, dimanche. Le grave digger à Brossard sur l'arena. Spectacle commence à 12h30.
Can you try it again, a little more intense, Jean-Michel?
Oui, certainement. Samedi, 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 le grave digger, l'arena en brossard.
Don't have a Quebec date on our tour, bud.
I know.
And I'm sure it's going to make the people sad. The show would be twice as long. Ça serait deux fois plus long. Because we'd have to translate everything.
You have to translate the whole show.
Moi, je m'appelle Jeremy Taggart. My name is Jeremy Taggart. Puis moi, aussi, je suis Jonathan Torrens. I'm Jonathan Torrens.
Hey, so you weren't around at TNT this week.
How did it go?
It was not the same without you.
Well, thanks, bud.
I got through it. It was fine.
It's like the footprints poem with the Lord. Like those times there was only one set of footprints. It's because I was carrying you, bud.
It was, it was gone for the different feeling. You should try it one day.
I'm scared to. I really admire that you were able to do it. It terrifies me a little bit.
Just gotta ramble.
Yeah.
Just try and ramble and ramble.
I mean, sometimes when it's the two of us, I'm not totally sure what we're going to talk about. But at least there's like a volley and spike quality to it. You were flying solo. Yeah. You were Maverick with no goose.
No goose.
You were Wayne without Schuster.
Oh, nice.
There's That's a good classic. Reference.
I used to watch that show.
Wayne and Schuster, me too. They had offices down the hall from me at CBC.
No way.
Yeah.
How were they?
Nice Johnny folks. Wayne and Frank Schuster. Well, I see by that clog on the wall that it's time to bid you one and all. They were into retirement, I think, by the time I started there. Mm-hmm. So, like, they might have been doing a special a year kind of thing.
Also, they were rarely there.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. Roger Abbott and Don Ferguson from Air Farce are two of the classiest dudes I've ever crossed paths with.
Nice.
I was I was in a car accident I've talked about before. And, like, I think their bouquet of flowers beat my ambulance to the hospital. Like, so generous and kind. Really nice dudes.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
they're good dudes. Did you feel like when you went to CBC, you were kind of helped out by a lot of the older people there?
Yeah, I really believe in the art of mentorship as a thing. And, you know, Ron McLean was really nice to me. Peter Mansbridge was really nice to me. Wendy Mesley was very kind. Scott Russell, like mainly the sports cats, because they are really students of the broadcasting craft, and they, more than anybody, seem to always make time. The thing that is really surprising is how funny and cool Mansbridge is, but he can't be. Yeah. Because he has to remain credible as a broadcaster, but he is a really funny and nice dude for sure.
That's That's good to know because he's the last guy there.
Hey, bud, September 3rd, you're not going to be able to do TNT.
Yeah.
And I've booked a guest co-host to come in with me.
That's going to be fun. Who's doing it?
Emma Hunter. She's a stand-up comic. You might have seen her on the television before. Very funny gal and very nice. And she's been working on Mr. D. And I thought it would be fun to have a female bod join us for a change.
Yeah,
and so she'll be in the studio in Toronto. And she's really fired up about it. Very thankful to you for the opportunity.
No, it's great. I'll be down in the Hammer doing pitch talks with Stephen Brunt, Alex Anthopoulos, and Nick Dyka from the Arkells.
Alex is going to be there?
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting.
He must be just accepting kudos everywhere he goes these days.
Yeah, well, he's kind of been in on this for a while, like booked to do it for months. So he was to do it down in Hamilton. I guess he just felt it was just a bit of a buffer as opposed to Toronto media.
Right.
And it's mostly fan, or like 99% fans of the game as opposed to press.
Right.
So the questions are just kind of from the heart and have meaning behind them, and as opposed to trying to find out what they're doing and, you know, really grinding them from a professional level.
Well, he can't ditch now just because they're big time. He can't big time his way out of it.
I don't know at this point if he can, you know, if anybody could think of something negative to say to the guy at this point.
No.
I mean, he's put himself easily in the running for GM of the year. So, I mean, the guy's done a lot of great things, not unlike Masai Ujiri for the Raptors, where it's hard to, there's no faults. You can tell they're trying to do the right thing as opposed to some egomaniacal idea of even kind of the way it was with all offense and no real pitching that was acceptable to criticism. But I mean, the fact that they have great pitching now and a better bullpen, then it's hard to say anything.
How do you feel about Lou Lamoriello?
I don't know. It's interesting. It's, they keep hiring people in that front office.
Yeah, Jacques Lemaire.
Yeah, and now, I mean, these are all really kind of guys that have hemmed their own craft and had their own kind of ways and have all not really had to say anything to anybody. And there's like five of them now that are all now having to collaborate. And I just don't know how that's going to work once the team is consistently losing because there's no real talent. I mean, they got rid of their best player without replacing him with anybody. And all the prospects they have is kind of the hope for the future. So everybody is accepting that this isn't going to be a good season for them. So, but all these people are winners that they brought in, or young people that are trying to get things going. And
big time. Well, I guess Lemaire and Lamoriello have certainly worked together before and have a history, right?
Yeah. And again, like they're just used to being successful as to not, I mean, Babcock, especially. He's like born and raised in the playoffs at this point, and he you know, 3 or 4 months of losing, he's never done that. So we'll see.
I heard this morning his 4,400 square foot, $800,000 Detroit home is on the market.
Yeah.
How much would a 4,500 square foot home be in downtown Toronto by comparison?
I believe he's actually getting a condo or something.
Is
like
he?
That. Yeah. So he's definitely not going for the big pad on the bridle path.
Sick.
Yeah, I'm sure that the suburbs of Detroit have a little bit more. I'm sure there's some, you know, like places like Birmingham where it's expensive, but not near as expensive as.
Where did Isaiah Thomas live? Something Hills. Can't remember. There's a swanky suburb, Something Hills, outside of Detroit.
Yeah.
8 Mile? No, that's not it.
Yeah, that ain't it.
Hey, good chatting, homie.
Yeah.
Next week we'll have to do our back to school spectacular.
Yeah, that'll be a gas.
But this was a fun one, and 48's coming down the pipe. Take care,
yes,
bot.
And have fun on your little vacation in the woods.
I'm sure I'll have stories aplenty. The Torrens family campcation.
Oh yeah.
Talk to you next week, bruh.
Talk to you soon.